because he's going to touch people here today. People are going to leave here healed. People are going to have prayers to their answers to their prayers because he's here. So, just one thing I want to announce. We have a young family's potluck today. And so whether you remember it or not, today's a day for young families to gather together and share a meal and just visit and get to know one another a little bit better. If you didn't bring food, we'll just think five loaves and two fish, and we'll pray over it, and it'll multiply, and we'll all be good. And we'll go home satisfied. So just remember that. All right. Thank you, worship team. Well, I think I better start this morning by making a confession. So I do have a confession to make. So that probably gets your attention, because what in the world has Blatt been up to this time? Don't ask my wife. I have to confess that since last Sunday, I think I've come to the realize, even this morning, that I've been angry all week of something that didn't take place here last Sunday. The only person I can blame is myself, if there's blame to be laid, because God has timing with everything. You see, last Sunday, I wasn't in here. I was mostly in the edge, and if I wasn't in the edge, I was in grade school or in junior or in the nursery, checking in on our ministries and making sure they had everything they needed, because we had a whack of kids here last week. So we had about double than I think what we had here this morning. So we were busting at the seams, and I just wanted to make sure they had what they needed. So I was kind of out and about. At one point, I came back into the edge, and I sat down, and I noticed something that really, really bothered me. When I saw 15-year-old Anastasia in a wheelchair, I didn't realize it, but there was an anger that rose up within me. Because God, or because Satan, is trying to touch our very own. And we will not stand for that. So I said to Pastor Larry on Tuesday, really, I wish that I would have brought Anastasia down the aisle and interrupted the service so that we could lay hands on her and healed her. Because she is a young woman of God that belongs to this body, to this family, that needs a healing touch. I'm not going to take time this morning because I want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to move this morning, but if you want to know what Anastasia's condition is, where she's at currently, then you can talk with Julie. Because Julie and Simon are Thomas as well, our wonderful bass player. Right, Thomas? So I've been percolating all week about this. And on Tuesday, we went to our life group and prayed for Anastasia there. Wednesday night went to our board meeting and realized there's other life groups praying for Anastasia, so I hope she understands that she is loved and there's lots of prayer going up on her behalf. But on Tuesday night when I got home and I couldn't sleep, and so I put on my headphones, I took out my phone, and what I normally do is I go to YouTube and I have my favorites of worship music that I listen to. And I felt, you know, I want to try something different. I want to find something else to listen to tonight. So I began to search. And you know that Pastor Larry and I were down in Leduc 2 weeks ago, somewhere in there. And we were under the teachings of Bill Johnson and Randy Clark. And so I thought, I'm gonna search Bethel music and see what comes up. There was a song that came up, a live video feed of them performing it live, which we will watch in a minute. It captivated me because of Anastasia and others. And I don't know, since Tuesday, I probably listened to this worship song dozens and dozens of times. And I just let it wash over me. And I let what God wants to rise up within me rise up. We're praying for a breakthrough. It's going to start this morning. Anastasia cannot be here today because I think she was doing exercises, and she's very, very sore. Just because she isn't here physically doesn't mean God can't touch her wherever she is. So, praying for a breakthrough this morning. So be patient with me because my spirit's buzzing this morning. I'm like a lion in a cage, and I pray that's the Holy Spirit working. So let's pray, and then we're going to just share a few things, and we're going to watch a couple of videos. I think that will set the scene for what we want to accomplish today. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your love and your grace towards each and every one of us. Thank you for how you've moved in our lives in days past. Thank you for the scriptures that remind us over and over again that you're God that heals, you're God that touches, you're God that cleanses, you're God that makes what has not been whole, whole. That is your desire. And we're praying that in this morning for Anastasia and for anyone else here today that needs a healing touch. So we invite you to be here. I know you've enjoyed our praise and our worship. And as we're going to learn in a moment, praise and worship sets the stage for the impossible. So today we're anticipating, Lord, that you're going to move amongst us in ways that will heal us, bless us, encourage us, raise our faith to another level. And so we pray you would do what you need to do this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciples are traveling with Jesus. And they come to this point where Jesus stops to do a whole bunch of teaching. And you and I know that is Sermon on the Mount. And within the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to teach on how his disciples, us, should pray. So I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation out of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus teaches this is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And I don't know if it's because we were with Bill Johnson, and if you've read his book, Heaven Invades Earth, it certainly flows out of that. But as I was processing things on Friday, may God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, grabs me. What does that mean? So in our context this morning, I thought of several verses that I think apply to what's going to happen here today. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The one who always was, the one who is, and the one who's still to come." Revelation 7:11 says, "And all the angels standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God. As is in heaven, may it be on earth." Revelation 11:16, "And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and they worshiped God." And I pictured that, and there's just this constant power of praise that erupts in heaven constantly, constantly, constantly. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I just think, If we borrow Bill's phrase, if heaven is going to invade earth, praise needs to erupt from our lives constantly. So that leads me to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 and 4, and you can turn to it. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation because I love how it phrases this portion of Scripture. There are probably some phrases in here that you could certainly underline if you underline in your Bible. But this is from the Passion Translation. It said, after he came down from teaching on the hillside, after he was done teaching the Sermon on the Mount, massive crowds began to follow him. Suddenly, a leper walked up to Jesus and threw himself down before him in worship. And he said, Lord, you have power to heal me, if you really want to. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the leper and said, of course I want to heal you. Be healed. And the scriptures tell us that instantly leprosy disappeared. How in the world does leprosy instantly disappear? Do you understand the grips of leprosy on an individual? This is what instantly disappeared. Weakened muscles regained all the strength they had before leprosy. Hair that had fallen out grew back. Discolored skin was clear and smooth. All the lumps and the bumps were removed. Ulcers that once plagued his feet were absolutely gone instantly. Kidneys that were failing were restored. Crippled hands and feet were straight and strong. Weakened eyes regained full strength. Nerve damage that had caused loss of sense and feeling absolutely restored. How were they restored? Because Jesus touched him. He met him at his point of need. And the leprosy's gone. You see, everything changes when Jesus shows up. And you got to believe he's here today. And he's saying, I am willing to heal. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to watch a couple of clips. And these clips are for the sole purpose to give testimony to what happens when Jesus shows up. So remember the song I talked about. So I'm watching this song and I'm thinking, okay, I like this song. I love the voices of this couple, this husband and wife who are leading this worship song. So I Google them to find what else do they sing because I want to put them into my playlist. And as I'm doing that, I come across another video. That's a documentary, if you will, that ties into the song that I've been listening to. I would encourage you to write this down. Because I think, just like I've had to, I've watched this documentary dozens of times. Yesterday, probably no less than twice. Because I want it to burrow deep into my heart. So if you go to YouTube, you simply have to search The Power of Praise with a dash that says The Miracle of Jackson's Healing. So Jackson is spelled J-A-X-O-N. The Power of Praise, The Miracle of Jackson's Healing. So let's deal with the lights and let's watch this.
We got the news that he was in extremely serious condition, and it just went from worse to worse.
In about a 12-hour time period, it went from he's just kind of had this little sick thing at home to life or death.
We're in a battle for a child's life and for a family.
I'm a little bit of a nut when it comes to Christmas. Because I didn't have the lights outside and all of that. We grew up, you know, kind of poor. And so this was a really special Christmas for us. We went out and got our tree and stockings were hung. And then everything changed.
We love to do train cake every year together as a family, and Jackson and I were actually doing that, just me and him that day. So it was a super fun, like, mommy son moment, and we were making the cake, and then that evening, just not long after that, he was just laid out on the floor.
I knew this, he's not okay. He needs to go to the hospital.
And so we rushed him to the ER. He was just like so sick, and I could hardly, you know, get him to the hospital. The doctor had called me up and he said, I'm really concerned that he might have E. coli. When I heard that, I thought, oh, psh, that's like one in a million chance. I don't feel like that would be possible. And if it is E. coli, that's treatable. And a lot of times E. coli doesn't, I mean, it's just a terrible sickness and it passes through the system. But in our case, he contracted HUS, which then developed into kidney failure and to the most severe case of HUS.
The doctor had said that this is basically out of their realm of capabilities and that we had to go to a different children's hospital. And I was thinking, oh, that's going to be in the next few days. He said, no, you need to go tonight and you're going to get on a helicopter. We're going to fly him there.
I was just flooded with the sense that I might never know my boy. Growing up to be a man, it might be this week that I lose my son. All of a sudden, his speech starts to slur. He just started not being able to communicate, not being able to respond. In the middle of the night, they rushed us up to the PICU and called the neurosurgeon in. They tested him and there was no response. There was no pain response. There was no recognition of me. And at that moment, I thought, I'm losing my son. Even if he makes it through this, I don't know if he'll ever know me again. He was just sprawled out on the bed and couldn't respond to anything. And he was gone.
There's a time when you've said every prayer you can say, and you don't have the strength to praise and worship anymore. And you haven't slept for weeks. And you're just kind of undone. And that was a moment for me when I was undone. The flip side of that is, I feel like that was the moment that I really began to feel the prayers around the world.
Hi, it's Christmas morning, and a lot of you are asking how Jackson's doing. Just want to say thanks for all your prayers and support. It's been overwhelming. It's a really long story, but it's really complicated right now, and we really need a Christmas miracle. They can't get to his blood.
There was something supernatural that happened that brought the church together. I would pull up social media and I would just read people's prayers in the comments of people all over the world. I've never met them before, but they were just crying out for my son. We were in the brink of life or death, and people would be posting comments on our Facebook. We are up praying for you.
People posting by the thousands, commenting, and they'd be all over the world. We're in Brazil. My church, whole church, is praying for you. I'm in Russia. My little children pray for your son every day. I didn't have any prayers left to say, but I could feel and see and hear the prayers being said on my behalf.
Yeah, this is a box full of letters and something that we've really treasured.
This is the bed that Jackson is laying on. And Jesus is healing him. They're in the middle of the world.
Well,
Jesus, from Mercy, 4 years old.
Hooked up to everything. They allowed me just to like hold him in my arms, and you could just see the light still in his eyes. And I just remember just standing and declaring over him. He was gonna raise up out of that grave, and he was gonna live.
we'd get good news and then worse news. It was so up and down, and so we'd go to the hospital and they said they thought he'd be okay, so they sent us home. And then to find out that he's worse than you even thought the first time. And then you're at the hospital and you're thinking, you know, he's gonna get better. And then you find yourself in a helicopter. And then you find yourself in a...
The head of the PICU came in and said, we have to get a central line in tonight. They couldn't give him another sedative, so it would be like going in, basically having surgery on a child without any anesthesia.
And the doctor took us aside and put us in another room.
They took us in a room and explained we had to have this procedure done or we would lose him, but there was so many risks to having the procedure done.
I remember the night we got the text that they didn't think he was going to make it through the night.
When you got the text, you just collapsed into my arms and just like began to weep. And I could just feel like we're going to lose. Like we're going to lose Jackson. Like we're not going to win this one. There's not going to be victory on this battlefield.
Those moments, even though they're really hard, something within us rises up that only moments of trauma and intensity can actually call forth. In those moments for us, like the only option is like, we just have to worship.
I remember standing at this crossroads and this giant of unbelief standing in front of me. Like it's your prayers don't matter. All these prayers don't matter. Like the Lord's not gonna hear it. This is gonna be like the other moments where you prayed with all your heart and then you buried your friend the next week. But there was like something inside of me of like, no. And the melody just erupted out of my heart that,
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies.
He sent me a song and I didn't know to what extent, but he said their community had prayed for Jackson and in a spontaneous moment, they came up with a song. And so they just, you know, recorded it and sent it to me. I took that song over my phone and I played over my son over and over again. You know, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was fighting warfare and it wasn't just me, I wasn't alone. I had people literally making weapons, writing songs, and sending them to us. It still humbles me and baffles me. The power of global prayer, the power of community, the power of believing together.
He started talking again.
What did you just paint a picture of?
You know, you could tell it was still like fragile, it was still coming back, but he was talking again, and that was like amazing. He was asking in the cutest 2-year-old voice, like everything he can imagine that he liked, you know, I want a hamburger, I want a hamburger. You know, but we were so happy to hear him talking again.
From talking with Joel, the tone started to feel like, oh wow, we're coming out of this, I think.
Just the shift internally of like, we made it was incredible. We walked in to the hospital just before Christmas, and now we're sitting here with a healthy son taking his nap right now.
Hey buddy, look, we're going home. Look, you haven't been outside for a month.
I remember hearing the news that Jackson is coming home. And it was like Christmas.
We believe in the power of praise. We've seen God do a lot. And I don't know the secret to all of it, but I do know that Jackson is well today. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but wonder or think that that praise had a part of that.
This is part of our story now, and it's part of Jackson's testimony of his life that the world will know that miracles happen.
This gospel is not haphazard. It's not a Russian roulette. It's not a guessing game. It is the absolute nature of God revealed through his goodness and his kindness. And what is necessary is for the people of God to rise to the occasion, to face the impossibilities of life with the confidence of God's character, his nature, and his promise. There's no other option. We were called to this. This is our responsibility. It is our privilege.
Everything changes when Jesus shows up, right? Through the power of praise, through an act of worship, you go back in the scriptures and you read how a leper was healed instantly. You watch a testimony of this and how a young boy who's on his deathbed, there's nothing much left there for him of life. But it all changes through the power of praise and through Jesus Christ. It's exciting to realize that for Jackson, Jesus says, Jackson, of course I want to heal you. Be healed. And he's a healthy young boy today because of Jesus. Everything changes when he shows up. So where it all started for me was this next clip we're going to watch. Because I think it drew me in and got me curious of who is this Jackson. So we're going to apparently watch it right now. No, wrong one.
Yeah, this year as a Bethel Music family a few days before Christmas. Most of you guys probably were a part of this miracle, but we watched Joel and Janie Taylor's little son, Jackson. And he was a few days before Christmas airlifted to intensive care, and we began to fight for Jackson's life. How many of you guys joined in that fight and that symphony of prayer that rose up for a little boy? And a couple weeks into the fight, we got a text one night from Joel that they weren't sure if he was going to make it through the night. And as soon as I heard and read the message, it was like this giant of unbelief stood in front of me. And I just thought, Jackson's going to die tonight. We're not going to see the miracle. And as this giant stood in front of me, all of a sudden, out of my gut, this song started coming out. Right in the face of the giant.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than.
As that giant was looking at us, I knew he was going to regret the day he ever pointed his sword at Jackson. Just as Goliath pointed his sword at David, the sword Goliath pointed at David became the sword the little boy picked up and took the giant's head off with. And as we watched this miracle happen in Jackson's body, it was like this giant of unbelief was falling. And our community just began to sing this song. It was just one note in the symphony of prayer rising for his life. So I want to teach it to you this morning. Let's sing.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
just begin to lift up your hallelujah. Raise it like a banner. Raise it like a flag. Raise it in the middle of the storm. Let it rise. Let it rise. Like a symphony to the King. Everything to you, Jesus. We raise it all up.
Things why we played that in its entirety. Number one is to teach you the song. Because in a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to raise a hallelujah. And we are going to pray in a breakthrough as we worship our Father this morning. Secondly, I hope you caught Jackson. What was he doing? He was worshiping his Father. Worshiping the God who saved him. Worshiping the God who healed him. We need to do the same. We need to do the same. I think there's giants here this morning. Maybe your giant is unbelief. Maybe your giant is fear. Maybe your giant is trauma or loss or disease, heartbreak, disappointment. Whatever holds you back, Jesus simply says, "Of course I want to heal you." The question we have to answer is, why does Jesus want to heal us? May it be on earth as it is in heaven. God never intended for any one of us to be sick or to have to face giants. We recognize that we live in a world where evil exists and darkness prevails, but not when Jesus shows up. So if you have a giant in your life and you want to deal with that giant once and for all you're going to have to do, the biggest risk you're going to have to take, is step out into the aisle and come forward. And let's just see what Jesus does this morning. We have a healing team here. They're going to be at the front. And they'll be ready to pray with you. Since Anastasia's not here, Julian, Thomas, and Simon, if you're here and if you're able to, when you feel ready, you come forward and stand in the gap for her, okay? So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go back to the song, Raise a Hallelujah. Not that there's anything special with the song in the sense that it doesn't have healing powers to it, but it's a powerful testimony of praise that God used to heal a young boy who was on his deathbed. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I think we're going to take out the lights again just so we can see the words well. What I want you to do is sing along with the Bethel team. Just pretend it's our team up here. They're all here live. Just let's raise a hallelujah to God. Through the power of praise, let's see what he wants to do here this morning in your life. So if you have a giant, as the song is being played, you come forward and you stand at the front. The team will be here. When the music quietens, they will begin to pray over you. But as you come, it gives you opportunity to raise up to God praise because you have a giant you want taken down. Make sense? So let's worship. And you come as you need. The healing team will be here. And let's see what Jesus will do this morning.
A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
sing, enemies flee. When you sing, prison walls come falling down. When you sing, heaven invades the earth. So just begin to lift up your hallelujah. Raise it like a banner. Raise it like a flag. Raise it in the middle of the storm. Let it rise. Let it rise. Like a symphony to the King. Everything to you, Jesus. We raise it all up.
Amen. God is good. The Lord Jesus is here, and he loves to heal. He loves to heal. You know, in the scripture, when it says that same passage that Pastor Randy was talking about, and in one of the other gospels, it mentions the same passage, except it says, when he saw the man, he had compassion on him. He has compassion. So many times he has compassion. All the time he has compassion. So many of the examples in the scriptures, he has compassion. He's moved by compassion and love and mercy to meet you in your situation. And Elaine, you just had a kind of a word you just wanted to share with people that might think might be helpful this morning. Why don't you share it?
Yeah, you bet. Oh, I just want to praise you, Jesus, and thank you, Lord. I just encourage you all just to stay in God's presence. Just close your eyes as I talk. Don't look at me. I just want to glorify God. He is here. Just as my husband and I were driving to church today, I just already felt the presence of God, and I just started to proclaim, this is going to be an exciting day. Things are going to happen today, that God's presence is going to be here, and I just feel it so powerfully right now. And as we were driving down the road and just talking and praising, just our car started to spin. We were almost in the ditch. It was a wild spin. We were going all over the road and turning sideways, and because we come in from the country, right? And it was snow-packed, covered. And we're almost in the ditch, and we don't know how it rectified, but my husband's hands were flying on that wheel. And I thought, and our hearts were just racing, and it was like God, it was almost like God allowed that to supercharge us in the natural. And then we just started praying and interceding. And I just want to encourage you that as I came in this morning and we were worshiping, and then Randy got up, and I had something happen that's never happened for me before, but God gave me an image. And it was like, as he was talking about, you know, as we worship God, the miracles happen. And what I seen was like this tentacly growth that just sticks to people. And that's our sickness. It's our burden. It's our trauma. It's whatever is sticking on to you. And it's like spirits attach, sickness attack, burdens attach to us. And they get our attention, and they're ugly. And, you know, just imagine what it looks like. And you're trying to pull it off. You're saying, you're looking at it, God, take this off. And you're working at it. But what I've seen is just as we just lift our hands, as we just focus on the Lord, as we enter into worship and just forget about everything else, the light of the glory of the Lord just permeates our being, and it falls off. It can't stand in the presence of God. So I just urge you, church, just to focus on Jesus. Focus on him. Enter in and declare who he is, what his attributes are. Quote the word. Lift that word up. Don't exalt your own understanding of the situation. Don't trust your own eyes, but trust what the Lord says. And as you focus on Him, that thing can't stand. It can't hold on you anymore. And I just seen it fall off. And I just seen it, like, on all of us, that those things, they attach and they dig in and they're ugly. But as we focus on Jesus, they fall off. They can't stand in His presence. Right on.
Thanks, Elaine. That's a good word right there, I think. Very good word. Thank you. You know, the Lord sometimes gives us indication of what He wants to do. And I know that in praying this morning, whatever is something that you want prayer for, you come and receive from the Lord this morning. Last night, middle of the night, I had another one of those dreams. And one of the things was, it was me having to tell my staff here at the church that tomorrow I'm going to be off for 3 months because I'm going to have spinal surgery. And I woke up from that. Again, my heart was pounding, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not having spinal surgery. But the Lord said, yeah, but there might be someone else here this morning that's going to be facing surgery. They just found out about needing to have spinal surgery. And so today's a day for you to reach out and receive healing. If you're here this morning and you just found out that you're going to be facing spinal surgery and you want healing for that this morning, I believe the Lord is saying, why don't you just come? Come and receive prayer and receive healing this morning. Is there anybody here that's just received that kind of information from a doctor? You've got to have spinal surgery, and very soon, you know what? We'd love for you if someone would love to pray for you, why don't you come up? And we just love to pray with you. And again, if you're here this morning and you just want someone to pray with you, you come up, and we'll pray with you. And we'll put the music back on again, and let's just pray through the rest of the morning. Pastor Andy, was there something you wanted to say in dismissal this morning while people are coming for prayer? You don't have to rush away. You can just stay and be here this morning.
What can you say? I knew this. I knew there were giants, but there's giants falling here this morning. There's giants that have been taken out. Just like David took out that sword and he wiped out Goliath and chopped his head off, there's giants that are falling that will never rise again. So yeah, if you don't mind putting on some music, if you want to linger in the presence of God, you're more than welcome to linger.